Chapter 32. Blood and Ash. Leaves crunched underfoot as I made my way through the forest to the north of the university. The pale moonlight filtering through the bare trees wasn't enough to see clearly, but I had made this trip several times in the last span and knew the way by heart. I smelled wood smoke long before I heard voices, and glimpsed firelight through the trees. It wasn't really a clearing, just a quiet space hidden behind a rocky outcrop. A few pieces of field stone and the trunk of a fallen tree provided makeshift seats. I had dug the fire pit myself a few days ago. It was over a foot deep and six across, lined with stones. It dwarfed the small campfire currently burning there. Everyone else was already there. Moller and Fela shared the log bench. Willem was hunkered down on a stone. Sim sat cross-legged on the ground, poking at the fire with a stick. Will looked up as I came out of the trees. In the flickering firelight, his eyes looked dark and sunken. He and Sim had been watching over me for almost two whole span. "You're late," he said. Sim looked up to see me, cheerful as always, but there were marks of exhaustion on his face too. "Is it finished?" he asked, excited. I nodded. Unbuttoning my cuff, I rolled up my shirt sleeve to reveal an iron disc, slightly larger than a Commonwealth penny. It was covered in fine sigildry and inlaid with gold. My newly finished gram. It was strapped flat against the inside of my forearm with a pair of leather cords. A cheer went up from the group.
"Interesting way to wear it," Mola said. "Fashionable in a sort of barbarian raider way."
"It works best in contact with skin," I explained, "and I need to keep it out of sight since I'm not supposed to know how to make one."
"Practical and stylish," Mola said.
Simon wandered over and peered at it, reaching out to touch it with a finger.
"It seems so small. Ah!" Sim cried out as he jumped backward, wringing his hand. "Black damn!" he swore, embarrassed. "I'm sorry, it startled me, is all."
"Kissed and crail," I said, my own heart racing. "What's the matter?"
"Have you ever touched one of the Arcanum Guilders?" he asked. "The ones they give you when you become a full Arcanist?"
I nodded. It sort of buzzed, made my hand go numb like it had fallen asleep. Sim nodded toward my gram, shaking his hand.
"It feels like that. Surprised me."
"I didn't know the guilders acted as grams too," I said. "Makes sense, though."
"Have you tested it?" Willem asked.
I shook my head. "It seemed a little strange for me to test it myself," I admitted.
"You want one of us to do it?" Simon laughed. "You're right, that's perfectly normal."
"I also thought it would be convenient to have a physicker nearby."
I nodded in Mola's direction, just in case.
"I didn't know I was going to be needed in my professional capacity tonight," Mola protested. "I didn't bring my kit."
"It shouldn't be necessary," I said as I brought a block of sympathy wax out of my cloak and brandished it.
"Who wants to do the honors?"
There was a moment of silence. Then Fela held out her hand.
"I'll make the doll, but I'm not sticking it with a pin."
"Venata,"
Willem said. Simon shrugged.
"Fine, I'll do it, I guess."
I handed the block of wax to Fela and she began warming it with her hands.
"Do you want to use hair or blood?"
she asked softly.
"Both," I said, trying not to let my growing anxiety show. "I need to be absolutely sure of it if I'm going to be able to sleep at night."
I pulled out a hatpin, pricked the back of my hand, and watched a bright bead of blood well up.
"That won't work," Fela said, still working the wax with her hands. "Blood won't mix with wax. It'll just bead up and squish out."
"And how did you come by that tidbit of information?"
Simon teased uneasily. Fela flushed, ducking her head a little, causing her long hair to cascade off her shoulder.
"Candles. When you make colored candles, you can't use a water-based dye. It needs to be powder or oil. It's a solubility issue. Polar and non-polar alignments."
"I love the university," Sim said to Willem on the other side of the fire. "Educated women are so much more attractive."
"I'd like to say the same," Mola said dryly, "but I've never known any educated men."
I bent down and picked up a pinch of ash from the fire pit, then dusted it over the back of my hand where it absorbed the blood.
"That should work," Fela said.
"This flesh will burn, to ash all things return,"
Willem intoned in a somber voice, then turned to Simon.
"Isn't that what it says in your holy book?"
"It's not my holy book," Simon said, "but you're close. To ash all things return, so too this flesh will burn.
You two are certainly enjoying yourselves,
Mola observed dryly. I'm giddy thinking of a full night's sleep, Willem said. An evening's entertainment is coffee after cake. Fela held out the blob of soft wax, and I pressed the wet ash into it. She kneaded it again, then began to mould it, her fingers patting it into a man-shaped doll in a few deft motions. She held it out for the group to see.
Kvothe's head is way bigger than that,
Simon said with his boyish grin. I also have genitals, I said as I took the mommet from Fela and fixed a hair to the top of its head. But at a certain point, realism becomes unproductive. I walked over to Sim and handed him both the simulacra and the long hatpin. He took one in each hand, looking uneasily back and forth between them.
You're sure about this?
I nodded.
Fair enough.
Sim drew a deep breath and squared his shoulders, his forehead furrowed in concentration, as he stared at the doll. I doubled over, shrieking and clutching at my leg. Fela gasped. Willem leapt to his feet. Simon went wide-eyed with panic, holding the doll and pin, stiff-armed, away from each other. He looked around wildly at everyone.
I didn't...
I straightened up, brushing at my shirt.
Just practicing, I said. Was the scream too girly?
Simon went limp with relief.
Oh, damn you, he said weakly, laughing. That's not funny, you bastard!
He continued to laugh helplessly as he wiped away the sheen of sweat from his forehead. Willem muttered something in Siaru and returned to his seat.
You three are as good as a travelling troupe,
Mola said. Simon took a deep breath and let it out slowly. He reset his shoulders and brought the doll and the pin up in front of him. His hand shook.
Tell you anyway, he said. You scared the hell out of me. I can't do this now.
For the love of God.
Mola stood and walked around the fire pit to stand over Simon. She held out her hands.
Give it to me.
She took the mommet and pin and turned to look me in the eye.
Are you ready?
Just a second. After two span of constant vigilance, letting go of the Alar that protected me felt like prying open a fist gone stiff from clutching something too long. After a moment, I shook my head. I felt strange without the Alar, almost naked. Don't hold back. But hit me in the leg just in case. Mola paused, murmured a binding, and drove the pin through the leg of the doll. Silence. Everyone watched me motionless. I didn't feel a thing.
I'm fine,
I said. Everyone started to breathe again as I gave Mola a curious look.
Was that really everything you had?
No,
Mola said frankly as she pulled the pin out of the doll's leg and knelt to hold it over the fire.
That was a gentle test run. I didn't want to listen to your girly scream again.
She pulled the pin back out of the fire and stood up.
I'm going to come charging in for real this time.
She poised the pin over the doll and looked at me.
You ready?
I nodded. She closed her eyes for a moment, then murmured a binding and stabbed the hot pin through the mommet's leg. The metal of the gram went cool against the inside of my arm, and I felt a brief pressure against my calf muscle as if someone had prodded me with a finger. I looked down to make sure Simon wasn't getting some revenge by poking at me with a stick. Because I wasn't watching, I missed what Mola did next, but I felt three more dull prods, one in each arm and the other in the thick muscle just above my knee. The gram grew colder. I heard Fela gasp and looked up in time to see Mola, grim-faced and resolute, toss the mommet into the heart of the campfire, murmuring another binding. As the wax doll arced through the air, Simon let out a startled yelp. Willem came to his feet again, almost lunging at Mola, but too late to stop her. The mommet landed among the red coals with an explosion of sparks. My gram went almost painfully cold against my arm, and I laughed crazily. Everyone turned to look at me, their expressions in various stages of horror and disbelief. I'm fine, I said. This feels really weird, though. It's flickery, like standing in a warm, thick wind. The gram grew icy against my arm. Then the odd sensation faded as the doll melted, destroying the sympathetic link. The fire leaped up as the wax began to burn.
Did it hurt?
Simon asked anxiously.
Not a bit, I said. And that was everything I had,
Mola said.
To do any more, I would have had to have a forge fire at my disposal. And she's Eltha,
Simon said smugly.
I bet she's three times the sympathist Ambrose is.
At least 3 times, I said, but if anyone was going to go out of their way to find a forge fire, it would be Ambrose. You can overwhelm a Gram if you throw enough at it. So we're going ahead with things tomorrow? Mola asked. I nodded. I'd rather be safe than sore. Simon poked a stick at the spot in the fire where the doll had landed. If Mola can do her worst and it just rolls off you, it might be enough to keep Devi off your back too. Give you some breathing room.
There was a brief moment of silence. I held my breath, hoping Feyler and Mola wouldn't take any particular note of his comment. Mola raised an eyebrow at me.
Devi?
I glared at Simon and he gave me a piteous look, like a dog that knows it's going to be kicked.
I borrowed some money from a Gaelic named Devi, I said, hoping she'd be satisfied with that.
Mola continued to look at me.
And?
I sighed. Ordinarily, I would have avoided the subject, but Mola tended to be insistent about this sort of thing, and I desperately needed her help for tomorrow's plan.
Devi used to be a member of the Arcanum, I explained. I gave her some of my blood as collateral for a loan at the beginning of the term. When Ambrose started attacking me, I jumped to the wrong conclusion and accused her of malfeasance. Our relationship went sour after that.
Mola and Feyler exchanged a look.
You do go out of your way to make life exciting, don't you?
Mola said.
I already admitted it was a mistake, I said, irritated. What else do you want from me?
Are you going to be able to pay her back?
Feyler interjected into the conversation before things became heated between Mola and me.
I honestly don't know, I admitted. With a few lucky breaks and some long nights in the fishery, I might be able to scrape enough together by the end of the term.
I didn't mention the whole truth. While I might have a chance of earning enough to pay Devi back, I wouldn't have a chance in hell of making my tuition at the same time. I didn't want to spoil everyone's evening with the fact that Ambrose had won. By forcing me to spend so much time hunting for a Gram, he'd effectively driven me out of the university. Feyler tilted her head to one side.
What happens if you can't pay her?
Nothing good, Willem said darkly. They don't call her Demon Devi for nothing.
I'm not sure, I said. She could sell my blood. She said she knew someone willing to buy it.
I'm sure she wouldn't do that, Feyler said.
I wouldn't blame her, I said. I knew what I was getting into when I made the deal.
But she...
It's just the way the world works, I said firmly, not wanting to dwell on it any more than necessary. I wanted the evening to end on a positive note. I, for one, am looking forward to a good night's sleep in my own bed. I looked around to see Will and Sim nodding weary agreement. I'll see everyone tomorrow. Don't be late. Later that night, I slept in the luxury of my narrow bed in my tiny room. At some point, I stirred awake, dragged into consciousness by the sensation of chill metal against my skin. I smiled, rolled over, and slid back into blissful sleep.